I just believe in the process, and we're going to win going through the process.
Now, Bills Mafia, it's time for the main event. So sit back and enjoy the show.
Bills Mafia, welcome to the Red, White and Buffalo Blues, a UK Bill podcast, Bills News with a UK twist. Super wildcard weekend coming up, and it's a Saturday or Sunday morning, shall we say, game against the New England Patriots. Alex, welcome back. How's your time away from the podcast, and how are you doing?
Oh, this whole month has been just a whirlwind between moving and getting ready to move, and now we're in a one-bedroom apartment in Cambridge. Christmas, my birthday, my wife's birthday. I have missed talking football, but I've also enjoyed going out to a bunch of different restaurants. So it's 50-50, really, though.
I'm a draftee, you're a foodie.
Yeah. But man, I mean, here we go, right?
Oh, hell yeah.
Other than calling it Super Wild Card Weekend, like, just that's just stupid. It's just Wild Card Weekend. I know you added one more team, but just calm down. It's not, what's super about it? Give me a break. You can't have Super Wild Card Weekend and a Super Bowl. You only get one super. That's the way I feel.
How about Wacky Wild Card Weekend?
That's not very professional, but
and again, if some results come off, it will be a wacky one, won't it?
I would love it to be Wacky Wild Card Weekend. If the Chiefs could lose, that would be phenomenal.
Yes,
but we got to take care of business first, and a lot of people on Twitter, I've seen a lot of polls saying, you know, who do you want to play? Who are you scared to play? And for me, I'm not afraid of any team in the AFC. Honestly, we've played them all close and or beaten them. Other than, you know, the teams above, other than, you know, Cincinnati, you know, we play Tennessee tight, should have won that game. We beat Kansas City. We've beaten New England. Obviously, week one is Steelers, but that's week one. You know, nothing that any of those teams do scares me. I know we could have, other than Cincinnati's passing game, honestly, you know, but their defense is absolutely beatable. And if it comes down to a slugfest, you know, that's fine. And that game will be at home. So that's great. But what about you? Does anybody, you know, going into the playoffs before we knew it was New England, did you have like a preference, or are you like me where you think that we could beat anybody?
I'll be honest, I had no preference. I mean, to get to the Super Bowl, you've got to beat the best teams in the playoffs. And why not face, okay, I will still class, even though they've got Mac Jones as a quarterback, I still will class New England as a top team. But to go through New England's, Kansas, Tennessee, potentially Cincinnati, depending on certain results, especially Kansas and Tennessee, to make the Super Bowl. I'd rather do that than actually go through the likes of the Steelers, the Raiders, and then maybe one of Titans, Chiefs, or Bengals. So you'd rather get the games come thick and fast and the bigger teams in inverted commas.
Yeah.
Because then you know you're then seasoned in the playoff for that season going into a game potentially against either more than likely going to be Green Bay or the Bucks.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, it's I understand that you guys got, you know, the FA Cup and you have the Champions League and you have the Euros, but the Premier League just how anticlimactic is it almost every year without a playoff, right? I mean, this is so exciting, a playoff. You know, that's why college football did it. But, yeah, I mean, you guys, you know, you should add a playoff.
Like, to be honest, the battle for European positions each season, that's enough.
Yeah. Well, I mean, yeah. Could you imagine the NFL playing, like, three different tournaments? Like, you know, that your clubs do? How many quote unquote seasons or tournaments are going on at one time? Like three, right? You know, like
depends on what club you are.
Yeah, Champions League qualifiers, but like, you know, all the English like, what is it, the top three leagues go to the FA Challenge?
Well,
FA?
No, if you're talking the League One side, so the third division side, you've got the League One, you've got the FA Cup, you've got the Carabao Cup, you've got the Johnson's Pink Trophy, so that's four.
I don't know those last two.
You've also, well, Johnson's, you don't know the Carabao Cup?
No. I think I've heard it before, but...
Arsenal are playing in it tonight.
Okay.
You should know about that.
My level of fandom is very much introductory still. It's never been able to grab my heartstrings, you know? Pay attention to the big ones, you know? But there's just so much. I think there's, for you guys, there's too much football, I think. But it's not as physically intensive as it is the NFL. I mean, imagine if, like, you know, the USFL and the NFL had a tournament going at the same time as the NFL schedule. That'd be crazy, right? But you guys do four or five different tournaments at a time. People tuned in to listen to Bills versus Patriots.
Yes.
Let me give you my biggest thought on the game. You usually look to me for the analytics. We look at the matchups, but this is the third time that we've played these guys, and all that is out the window. You know, we know what they do well. They know what we do well. We played at our house. We played at their house. This is the most ideal matchup storyline-wise, and that's why it's at 1 a.m. our time, unfortunately. You know, the NFL wants that in prime time. But, like, here's the thing. And this is what scares me. We need to win this game. I mean, that's obvious, right? But look at it from the Patriots' point of view. How many rookie quarterbacks win their first playoff game? They don't have expectations to win the Super Bowl. They're happy that they're back in the playoffs. They're building for the future with Mac Jones. We didn't expect, and we talked about this for the Texans game. Even if we won that game, we'd be happy with just that, right? We said that. We are at home against our demon. You know, they don't consider us an arch rival. We consider them an arch rival because of the way Brady stomped us for years and years. So we hate them way more than they hate us. We need to win this game. Josh Allen needs to look like Josh Allen in this game. We need to score 30 in this game. If the Patriots lose, their fans go, we'll be fine next year. If we lose this game, we're talking about what's wrong. What do we need to fix? You know, can Josh not play in the Buffalo weather? Can McDermott not, you know, handle it? You know, high expectations all season long to go one and done in the playoffs. That can't happen. Now, I firmly believe, I'm like 98% confident that we can beat these guys and that we will beat them. I told, you know, I was at the gym and I told my trainer, we're going to win. There's no doubt in my mind, you know, because it needs to happen.
Oh, yeah, of course.
What do you think?
I think, obviously, it needs to happen to actually cement the fact that the East goes through Buffalo and they are one of the top teams in the NFL this year. I mean, obviously New England, fair play to them with Mac Jones under, but it's probably Belichick actually changing the system. They've got them up there challenging for the East, where most people had them written off to even challenge and make the playoffs and all that. Part of me thinks, if we lose, is it going to be the end of the world? But then, yeah, you're right. There are doubts into the back of your head thinking what needs to be done. Or was it a case that you then look at the positive saying, we've done all we could. We actually played the conditions. Alan played the conditions a lot better than he did in the first home meeting with it. And obviously the weather is going to play the part. It's not going to be as bad as week 13 when they go into it. But then would you then put it as the experience of what Belichick has as a coach? Yes, McDermott's had four, five seasons in the playoffs, but Belichick knows how to win in certain situations with different quarterbacks when they haven't had Tom Brady. Obviously, looking at Kessel, Brissett a couple of times, and obviously Mac Jones, that there's always like, one of those, a scale really on it. But to be honest, with what we've done, and this is going to bring me on to a question I'm going to ask you in a minute, what we've done on offense and how our defense has actually finished with no Pro Bowlers and pretty much first in almost every single category on the defense, I feel 100% confident that we go in and we beat them as badly as we did when we played them at their place in week 16.
Yeah, it's a great matchup for us because I don't think their offense can really challenge us too much. I mean, obviously the run game, but even though in the first game they ran all over us, you know, we have a tendency to give up one or two big plays, but still be in a good position. In the first matchup, not everybody on defense played. So Milano was out, or Edmonds was out.
Yeah.
Yeah. What was it? Milano?
Milano.
Yeah. So, I mean, I credit that there. In the second one, you know, Harris had three touchdowns, but it didn't matter because we did what we wanted to on offense. I've thrown a football in sub-zero degree weather. The ball feels like a breeze block, you know, you really have, you can't sit down on the sideline or else you'll become a popsicle. Tailgating at Bills games, the best way to feel good is to be up and constantly moving around. It's going to be tough no matter what. I mean, Allen said he's not a sleeve guy. So, you know, do what you can to feel comfortable, but also, you know, be smart.
Yeah.
I think it's going to be tough out there. You know, I mean, Diggs, we heard him talk about that freezer bowl game that he was in against Seattle, where it was like 10-9 in 2015 or something like that.
Yeah.
Where Minnesota was playing in their university stadium. 10-9. I mean, if that happens, you know, this might be a win at any cost kind of game. This might not be a 30-27 thing. That's the thing about the playoffs. And I think expectations need to change where it's do whatever you can to win. And if Allen doesn't look pretty, that's fine. I mean, Baltimore, he was good enough. Indianapolis, he was good enough. That's fine for me in the playoffs. I don't need 400 yards and four touchdowns, you know?
Yeah. So my question to you, obviously, given the last four games, if you include the second half of the Bucs game, do you think this offense has hit their stride with the fact they've got this now run game going and seems like in the last couple of weeks had a settled and strong offensive line? Have they peaked at the right time to actually take this playoff run and actually help out the defense, which we know really does not need any help, but actually brought on itself to actually elevate the game, help out Josh Allen a lot more, and obviously take us to Super Bowl? Or do you think you're looking at the fact we played the Falcons and the Jets in our last two games against poor-ish teams, and the fact that that's what's inflated? Do you think they've peaked at the right time?
You know, after, I mean, that second half against Tampa Bay, that's an amazing performance against a good team, and it's unfortunate that it ended the way it did. Losing to Atlanta at halftime and punting as much as we did against the Jets, I wouldn't say that this offense is peaking. But here's the thing, and I was just at the gym today, and I have a really good analogy for this. When I do a workout, I will, like today was leg day, I did squats as my first workout. I did 10 reps with just the bar, and then I did 5 reps, and then I did 3 reps, with increasing the weight gradually.
Yeah.
And then I got to my top set. And when I'm doing 10 reps with just the bar, I struggle because there's, you know, it's easy. So you're not into it. You know, you're not giving it your 100% push. Because if I pushed 100% with just the bar, I'm going to blow out my knees or the bar is going to fly off my back. But yeah. When I'm working my top set, when I'm playing against my toughest opponent, which is like, I think today was 60 kg, I can give it 100%. And it's easier to almost move heavier weight because you can give it every single ounce that you can.
Ooh.
So that's the mindset that I think we have going in against New England. And I think just pushing a bar against the Jets and against the Falcons, it wasn't as pretty as it could have been. But I think, and I think that's the way these games go. You know who your opponent is. And you know you don't need to give 100% because you know the guy across from you just isn't very talented. The coach across from you isn't very talented. So you just go in and you preach fundamentals and you'll come out with the win. But this is a different matchup. This is where you have a challenge and you know you can go balls to the wall. And I think that's what's going to happen this week. So I wouldn't at all worry about losing to the Falcons at halftime. I wouldn't worry about all the punts against the Jets because this is a different kind of game.
Well, I'd worry about the punts if they against the Jets if it happens in the wild card.
Yeah, if we have to punt, then absolutely that's an issue. Clearly, they're going to stick with Matt Hack and not bring up the Scottish guy because it's all about holding.
Yeah. No, I get that. I know people will probably clamor for him to get cut, maybe probably the end of the season, possibly. But I kind of get why they're not doing it for the playoff rush, because equally holding the ball for a field goal or an extra point is probably more important. If you get someone that hasn't really practiced with Tyler actually holding it, he may not know where to place it, how Tyler likes it. And all that, okay, it is pretty much snapping and just placing the ball down, making sure the lace is on the outside and all that. But the communication and the fact they've done it for 18 weeks of the season.
Yeah.
To get rid of that for a playoff game against one of your biggest rivals for a newbie to the team, I can see why they're keeping, but I just hope that we don't get into a situation where we have to punt and maybe we go into games if it's like fourth and short, like fourth and two or anything like that, and actually do just carry on with our fourth down success rate.
Absolutely. And that was the point that I was going to make. It's that against the Jets, you don't need to go for it on fourth down. You can punt against the Jets and still get out of there with the win. For as annoying as that game was, you still cover the gigantic spread that we have. So, you know, we knew that it was okay to get away with that. Against New England, we're probably not going to let Matt Hack punt it unless it's like fourth and 10, you know? I mean, Seattle went for it on fourth down, like from their own 20. And I mean, obviously they had nothing to lose. But in this game, I think that McDermott, I think he's learned. I think he learned from that first New England loss to not be conservative, to not worry about the weather, just trust your players. I think he's absolutely there. I think we saw Josh trying to talk McDermott into going for it on fourth down in the last game, and McDermott said, "Nah, just kick it." I think he listens in this game. So I think if anything, you talk about the offense being in a groove. I think McDermott is in a groove. And I think that's probably the most important thing going into this game. He's tinkered. He's had his ups and downs this season. But I think he's in a really good place. As long as nothing pushes his panic button, if he goes in and he says, "I have bigger cojones than you do, Bill Belichick, your career's over, mine's just starting. I'm going to own the East for the next 10 years. If he has that kind of mentality, then absolutely we win this game.
Mm. the only thing I'm praying for, and obviously at the moment the injury report is pretty much as healthy as it's ever been. I don't think there's anyone that's not practiced at all this week. Obviously Beasley this week for vet rest, and there'll probably be a couple more vet rests during the during today and probably tomorrow and all that, but it's to keep that offensive line intact.
Yeah. Another thing about the injury report is, with the emergence of McKenzie in that Patriots game, do we have too many wide receivers? Because I think they're more willing to trust we've seen more Beasley over the last 2 weeks than we have McKenzie. And Gabe Davis didn't look that hot against the Jets. I worry that you got to play the matchup correctly. In man-to-man, and the Patriots, I think they've talked about keeping Josh in the pocket. And if that's the thing, if they do that with a zone, then that's Beasley and that's Singletary. If we go in and we see the same kind of game, then it's got to be McKenzie and it can't be Beasley. And I hope that McDermott and Abel, they don't play favorites. They play what's right for the team. And I can't imagine them doing that because it's the playoffs, you know, don't be stupid.
Yeah. You know? I was reading the All 22 by Joe Piscaglia on there. Obviously, the passing lull in third quarter and all that. I think mainly he said it's potentially down to just the miscommunication, and obviously that time they were actually throwing into the wind. Yeah. So I think it's not so much that they trust. I think they were trying to get in positions, but there were just the odd miscommunication on whether they were going to run a curl, a flat, a crossing route, and all
that.
Yeah,
I definitely saw a few of that. Yeah,
I think they'll look. I mean, obviously, they will look to Beasley because he is reliable, especially on third down, because he is third and cold, as they say, and he will get you that first down on there.
But it was third and McKenzie against the Patriots last time. So
yeah, maybe it's a case that they know how to exploit it with McKenzie now, and she would do that. But it's good the fact that we have Davis, Beasley, McKenzie, Diggs, and to an extent Sanders in there. Mm-hmm. That means we keep the Patriots. We can keep the Patriots guessing. Yes, it's more than likely that Josh to Diggs will probably be the most targeted player on there. But the fact that you can sprinkle in a McKenzie, a Beasley, even a Davis underneath in a crossing path and all that, to really beat what the Patriots will actually will put to us.
Yeah, you know, when you say that, I think this might be a really good Beasley or Knox game, because if they do go to the man again, if they show man, but then like disguise it and have it be a zone, because the Patriots have to do something different compared to the last game on defense. So if we use McKenzie to clear space, then Beasley will find that hole and so will Knox. And that's what I'm pretty excited for. It's that we have so many different things we can do to find your weakness on defense. And as I said with McDermott, getting in the right groove, feeding Singletary, going just no 1A, 1B, just you have a number one running back in Devin Singletary and they're using him like that. Those kind of personnel decisions make me feel really good about where this coaching staff is and knowing how to get the best out of this offense.
Yeah. One thing before we wrap up the show is something that I probably me and you will not talk about on a podcast again. What's your view on the potential interviews of Daboll and Frazier?
It would make sense that they move on, but I don't think that McDermott knows what works, and he knows who to go out and get. You know, if Daboll and Frazier are gone, you know, McDermott's the defensive guy and he knows to hire a guy on offense who isn't going to come in and absolutely rewrite the script. You know, when you have talent, that nearly supersedes who the coordinators are, because it's all top down. It's Bean and it's McDermott knowing what works and what doesn't with this team, because we've had success. You know, we're not trying to figure it out. So it's just replace the guy, not, you know, figure it out. You know, there is no more testing. So if they're gone, we just get someone to, you know, do the same thing, but tweak it, you know, with maybe more innovation, but not rewrite the whole thing. And that's fine. So I'm not too worried about it. Good for them. Go give your shot. Go get your shot. Yeah, it doesn't bother me.
Okay. So the trilogy completes this Sunday. This Sunday. I'm going to call it a Sunday.
It is.
Because technically it's Saturday when in America, but it's Sunday over here. So I'm going to call it Sunday.
What's your game plan on Saturday? You take a nap?
I don't know what I'm going to do. I've got to work early on Sunday.
Yeah. Okay, so if you're putting a shift in, then you got to take a nap, I think, or else you're not going to make it.
I'm working 7:30 till 5:30.
Whew. Yeah, that's definitely
on the Saturday, and then the same again on Sunday.
Oof.
And I'm working as a COVID test operative at a testing center in a park and at a local park and ride. So it's going to be last Saturday it was pretty much dead. We were pretty much on our phones for the majority of the day. Sunday was a little bit better, so I have a feeling I'm going to be sleeping a bit at work.
Yeah,
but getting paid to do nothing. Yeah, just sit around chatting on our phones. I am moaning about that at all.
Yeah. Oh, we had one person on Twitter ask us, or Facebook ask us, like, where to see the game, where to watch the game in London. I'm like, mate, you know the time difference. But yeah. Obviously, I think pretty much the only thing that's going to be open in London is the Hippodrome in Leicester Square. So I'm not going to give that a try. I'll be watching from my couch. And hopefully we all get to hang out and see each other for next week. And because it's next week, I'm predicting it to be next week. I will say it's going to be 27-23 Bills.
Okay, so you're going for pretty much a one-score game.
And I think that's only because New England scores late in the fourth to make it look close, but I don't think it's going to be. I think it's good. There's going to be a defensive game, but there'll be, you know, enough scores. It'll just be spread out. There might be some frustration here and there. It might be close, but Josh Allen in the second half is nearly unbeatable over the last 5 weeks. So that's where my trust lies in our halftime adjustments.
Yeah, I think that's going to be the key, really, to be honest. How we adjust at halftime, because we know that what we need to do is come out fast.
Mm-hmm.
There's no denying it. We need to come out fast, make New England pretty much shut down their game and try and adapt to their to how well the Bills are playing. So for me, it's a fast start. If we get caught up a little bit, then it is all on the adjustment at halftime.
Let me ask you a question real quick. You talk about fast start. Do you want to see Josh get into a groove early, or do you want to see them set up the run early so we can really use play action pass later in the game? What's a better fast start? Set up the run or just get Josh flowing?
I'd like to say set up the run.
Yeah, our strength is in Josh Allen, right? So let's hit that first, right?
But the fact is the last, again, I'm going to refer back to the Jets and the Falcons and to an extent the Patriots on there and the Panthers. Well, take out the Patriots, the Panthers, the Falcons and the Jets, not really strong in stopping the run. We were able to set the run up early, and actually this offensive line really kept Josh Allen up, opened up the run game for it. But I think it's best to let Josh to let Josh rip it and actually get us onto a quick start that way, because the more points we can quickly put up, regardless whether it's in 5 minutes we put up 21 points or 14 points in 3 minutes.
If we force the Patriots to want to need to throw the ball.
I mean, I was watching over. I was watching a replay of the Rose Bowl between Ohio State and Utah. I think there was like three touchdowns within 51 seconds.
Oh, geez.
So anything can happen, but I think to go for a fast start, I think you're just going to have to trust Josh's arm and make him make plays, even if he has to, with his legs, they can't set up the run on that. Yeah. But again, it depends on what we've got. There's what they've got. Carl Duggar, who's not going to be playing again, for it. They've got a few questionable injuries. They've got one of their starting cornerbacks on COVID list, so he might come back. I think the conditions are going to be less. They're not going to be as brutal. Let's put it this way: as week 13.
Have you ever felt 96 degree weather?
I've been in a shower for that temperature.
What? Ew.
Yeah. Yeah. You've never done it when you've gone to a really hot country. You're actually pretty much sweaty. You probably burnt a little bit. You just get in the shower and just turn it onto cold whack and just have a very cold shower. Or even to wake you up.
I get that. No, but like, when I was on my honeymoon in the Maldives, I would do a like, you know, right, we have the temperature be right in the middle. You know, I wouldn't go cold, but I definitely wouldn't go hot. But, you know, yeah. But,
I think.
Give me your prediction here.
I am going 27.
Oh, just say the same thing as me. Come on.
27-17.
Okay. Yeah, that would be great. That would be great if they just really can't do anything on offense. That would be just so.
I think
chef's kiss.
I think our defense is good enough, and we've seen the pass rush now come. Mm-hmm. The fact that Phillips has had a pretty much a breakout season in the last six games.
Ed Oliver has had a breakout.
Mm-hmm. We're starting to get a bit of pass rush on there again. Again, you can argue that it's the Falcons and the Jets that we've got. We've had like 13, 14 sacks the last two games on there. But we've finally got where we are in this defense that if we can slow down their run game and mm-hmm. the fact that, was it Damian Harris had one big run against us in both those games.
Mm-hmm. And they were 1-for-10 on third down last time. I mean, our defense exactly. can do the exact same thing to them. Absolutely.
So I think that I'm confident that we go into the next round and more than likely end up going to Arrowhead Stadium. And we've been there before this season and won there.
Yeah.
So I think 27-17 is probably the best that we're actually we could get out of this game. And I'm happy to stick my neck out on that.
Great. I like it. Makes sense. So, doable. Yeah.
So, anything else, last thing to add before we wrap up?
No, that's it. I mean, I hit my spots. You got everything that I have to say.
That's a first. but no, I mean, unfortunately, we won't be able to show the game at the Fitzroy Bell, hopefully next week. Or the Moortown, hopefully next week we'll be able mm-hmm. to. Fingers crossed that the schedule gods give us a favorable game.
Yep.
Keep following us on Twitter, on Facebook, on YouTube, Instagram, the whole shebang at UK_Bills, at RWBB_podcast, Buffalo Bills UK and UK_Bills. And for Alex and Matt, it's good morning, good afternoon, good evening. Thank you for following, for listening, sharing, liking, subscribing, and for whacking. Wildcard weekend. We're not going to say super. Go Bills.
Go Bills.
Yeah, no, not us. You don't know anything about heart. You don't know anything about work. Huh? That's who we are.
Bills on three. 1, 2, 3.